Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Brooke. Joining me on the show is Paul from Body Blitz out of Burnham Field, UK. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Welcome, guys. How are we doing?
I'm excited to have you here.
I'm excited to do this.
Yeah. It's a cool opportunity for us to really chat about what you have going on within your fitness business. And that's what we're going to do. But before we dive into that, I would love to hear, you know, a really brief background of how it was that you got started in this industry.
Yeah, so the industry, I was always involved in sport. From a young age, I played football. I represented my country as a youth footballer. I was always involved in sport. Later on in life, obviously, the football side of things didn't quite work out. Those things happened. It was a bit of a setback. But I always had the passion for fitness, and I always liked to keep fit, you know, for the mental side of things. Back then, obviously, the mental side of things wasn't such a highlighted thing. But obviously, going off things now and understanding more about how fitness helps me, I thought I would bring this type of thing to the community of Burnham Fields and the surrounding areas of Burnham Fields. And when I set it up 12 years ago, it was from a football field in a local park. You know, I started training my sister and a couple of our friends. You know, there was 2-3 clients per week coming in rain, wind, snow. You know, we tried to get it going. Before it eventually started taking off, we were the only boot camp in the area, so no one had ever heard of that. I think it was like an Australian thing, American-Australian thing, boot camp. So everyone was sort of thinking it was going to be this military crawling across fields, which it was fun. It was fun. We did do stuff like that. It was fun, but you had to avoid, you know, dog mess and stuff. So it wasn't getting, you know, it was pretty, it was getting to a point where we had to change what we did. So then because the height of the business was getting so interested, we had to go inside and hire some local facilities, community centers, etc. We outgrew those quite fast, you know, with the number of people that were getting interested due to Facebook and some media platforms. And then, to be honest, you know, business to me isn't really, you know, there's a planning goes in, but you need a couple of lucky touches. So it just blew up. It blew up through people talking, through people, you know, I didn't really have to do a lot after that. What we were doing was really good. The results were fantastic. People were dropping great centimeters and you know, they were just feeling so much better about themselves, you know. And more importantly, you know, it was a community thing. It was more of a socializing thing in the beginning for mothers who had kids, you know, newborns, that could get an hour out of their day just to unwind, you know, socialize, have a laugh. You know, we always made it fun. It wasn't all about, you know, hard sweating and all that type of thing. We made it fun. We had a great community of people. You know, we had Christmas parties, etc. We just built up this great community spirit in the business of Body Blitz that it just outgrew every area that I was in, and I had to locate myself to a fixed facility. You know, and then that's when Body Blitz Fitness actually, you know, evolved. And that's where we are today, you know.
Okay, I love it. So really this started out as something that you were doing with your sister, something that obviously means a lot to you. Yeah. You guys started out as a boot camp. I personally love boot camps. I love the group atmosphere. Somebody showing me what to do. It's good. But you saw that, you know, the industry and the world around you is evolving. So you wanted to be able to offer more. And so that's kind of how you fell into Body Blitz, and you guys have a facility now. Give us your elevator of the facility as it stands now. Like, I want to hear your elevator pitch, who you are, what services you provide, so that we fully understand the model as it stands today.
Yeah. So Body Blitz Fitness is a community gym. You know, we are a big facility, but we're not commercial. It's a family-run gym. I mean, I run the gym myself. I've had no funding, no help. Everything I've made, I've invested back into the business. I did lose another gym in the lockdown, but we can go into that detail a little bit further. So this facility now, again, is community-based. It's built for all abilities. There's not a certain criteria you need. I've never wanted that. We broke the gym down into 8 different rooms, so you weren't overlooked. I realized through training gyms myself, I always realised these big open commercial gyms, no offence to the American gyms, because I know they are massively open and, you know, those type of things. But when you're doing your own workout, you know, not like a CrossFit cell, because that's really atmospheric. It's very lively. The energy's there. It's not that sort of, that's great. It's when you're left to your own devices in a gym, you know, and you've got to put your headphones on and you're looking around and you're very unconfident anyway, hence the reason you're joining a facility, a gym, you know. And I used to watch that happen, and I used to hate people feeling like they'd had nowhere to turn for like sort of help. So they would come and they would go and then they would never get back on board. So they would never, they always thought fitness wasn't for them because of their bad experiences they had in other gyms. Yep. So to eventually get them along to my gym, to make them realize this, that, you know, everyone would speak, you know, you can speak to a male if you're a female, and if you're a female, you know, if you speak to a male, etc. And you, it was absolutely fine, you know, everyone would help each other, everyone would spot each other, you know, in sets. It was just so, when I watched it happen over time, of course, it was just nice to see that people were coming along and they were realizing that, you know, they didn't have to be on their own by themselves, you know. So I would always make my staff walk around, you know, for anyone that would join recently, or back then, even recently, I would always say, look, make sure that you approach them, but obviously in a comfortable manner, to say, look, if you need any help, come and find us. We're happy to help. We really want to help you. Don't think that you're giving us extra work that we don't need. We do want to help, you know. So my staff are really well trained in the fact that, look, the way you approach them, don't make them feel like they don't know what they're doing, in case that makes them feel a little bit like, you know. But then approach them in the fact that you're there to help, you're qualified at what you do, and any help that's needed, just pop along. We're happy to help, you know.
Absolutely. So in this facility, people can come in, they can do their own thing if they want. You also have group training. Do you guys offer personal training as well?
Yes, we do. We've got about 10 personal trainers here. You know, and all on just different sort of subjects of training. So, you know, we've got a boxing coach, Wayne Pinkham. He's a great coach. He's got his own, he's now got his own facility with loads of bags, like, you know, like loads of home bags. So he's got like a matted floor for all the clients to go in. All like sort of like fighting training. And then we have specialists in, you know, like bikini girls who do like, you know, the bikini competitions, the bodybuilding competitions. We have fitness guys. We have a really good runner on board, Lewis Little, who's I believe he's top like 20 in Britain, like long distance running for speed.
Cool.
So, you know, it's great.
Yeah. So you have, you know, a bunch of trainers who are specialized in different areas, and that's awesome. Yeah. Because that really opens up, you know, the market is wide open for you. You guys can serve anybody no matter what their goal is. And that's nice. And I love, in this model, I personally love that you include personal training, because there's two reasons. Personal training is good for our clients, because we're able to give them a more direct approach to help them reach their goals. And usually if somebody's joining a gym, it's because they want to see a result. So it's good for our clients. And then the second reason, it's good for our business. We're going to bring in more revenue from PT, or at least we should be, than normal membership. So for you guys, what percentage of your revenue would you say is coming from the personal training side of things?
Right. So the way we do it in the northeast of England, a lot of gyms do this. Because I can't guarantee that I can get, let's say, one of my personal trainers, Jack, I can't guarantee him clients, because the clients might not want to train with Jack. You know, I can't force clients to train with certain trainers. And certain people want to train with a trainer of their choice, so they'll automatically message the person that they want to train them. So here at Body Blitz, we just put everyone self-employed, and they pay a rental income to the gym per week, and they get to train as many clients as they want in that week. So it's better for those, because they can then drum up their own business. And then I haven't got to stress about getting them clients if people don't want to sort of train with them. So it works better on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that it's good for the trainers, because, you know, they just have to pay you the rent, and then that's all they have to worry about. But I also think that in a way, by us not being super involved, we're kind of doing them a disservice, because it is helpful when we are helping feed them leads. And I do think for the business, like, you could have a trainer that has 40 clients and they're only paying you a small rental every week or every month. Yeah. And so it kind of caps off the potential that you, the business owner, could be making and being able to put back into the business, right? Do you think that there is a better way that you could be doing the training and how you kind of work that with the self-employees?
Not really, because like I say, and what it does is it gives them, in business, you'll always find in the beginning, I used to employ PTs. But when you employ someone, they're there for the hours that they're there. They expect to be paid for when they're there, but it doesn't give them enough drive inside, enough hunger to make more than that. So they're just there to turn up to do what they need to do. And then they go, which is fine, if you're both on the same page. Whereas I found that if they were self-employed using their own business name, so let's say, for instance, Jack, who I mentioned before, Jack's business name is Hijack Fitness. If Jack decides to have 3 weeks off work through whatever reason, my reputation isn't being damaged by his abundance, you know, to his clients or whatever. Like, it doesn't really affect me because his business name is behind his reasoning for not being at work or whatever. If he decides to just up flit and move to London, then that isn't bad publicity for my business to say that someone from Bodyweights took someone's money and then left. So it takes away a lot of stress for me having so many, you know, members to work with. And it's just a not stress-free relationship to have with people that work here, and then they're responsible for their own income. So it works better for me up in north of England.
Yeah, okay, understandable. So let's dive in here to the actual membership side of things. How many paying members you guys have at the facility now?
We always run around 250 to 300 members. It normally averages around there. We've had a quiet summer due to weather. We've had great weather in the UK. You know, summer holidays are always a struggle for gyms because the kids are always, the kids are out and about. And obviously we are a no contract gym. So I don't get paid from clients that don't turn up to my gym, which, you know, it isn't ideal. But again, thinking about my clients, it gives them the freedom. If they do decide to go on holiday for a month or the 6 weeks holidays come around, they're not wasting money on that, you know, which it's probably looking after them more than looking after myself. Again, it's not ideal, but it is what we do here.
Yeah. Do you mind if I give my 2 cents there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So when we are not, you know, when we don't have contracts, we're kind of doing our clients a disservice if we allow them to just cancel their membership whenever they want. Because for most of our clients, like I would say like 80% of people in the world struggle with motivation when it comes to health and fitness. Not everybody is like you and I, and it's like rushing to go to the gym in the morning. And so if we give them the option, hey, just cancel whenever you want, we're doing them a disservice because it's easy for them to cancel. And I think that you don't have to offer a contract, but you could, do you guys rope them into monthly billing or do they just pay like when they're coming in?
Yeah. So we do a prorated membership. So we always get paid on the first of the month, right? So they turn up, they pay the monthly fee, and then they know on the first of next month, they're due again. So if we get to the middle of the month, we half the membership, they pay half, which is, you know, we only charge £35 for a membership at my gym, which is not a lot of, it's not a big payment, but we had a lot of big gyms move around us, like IE, you know, Exercise for Less. We had True Gym. We had these big gym chains, you know, Gym 24/7, all these gyms turned up and they charge £15 a month. Which, for me, it shouldn't have been a business move that they were ever allowed to do because it just absolutely cripples people. And to me, again, I don't know how you can possibly make money charging clients £15 a month unless you had 20,000 people turn up, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, as long as you're doing the monthly billing and it's not, I mean, that makes it, they have to at least have a conversation with you to cancel. And then we can try to, like, convince them to stay if it's, like, something silly. So that's good. So 250 to 300 clients, and your facility is like about 10,000 square feet. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that a comfortable spot for you, or are you guys looking to continuously grow and welcome more members into the facility?
No, I'm not looking to grow. Like I said, I have another gym franchised in about 4 miles away from this gym. And again, I don't know whether it's this current state that we're in as a population of the world, but people just don't sort of want to work anymore, you know. So having that gym managed by a manager, I had endless phone calls weekly with problems, with, you know, difficulties, with just things that were easy to sort, as a manager should say. And in the end, Brooke, like I said, in the lockdown was a bit of a crusher, you know, because obviously we got a little bit of help, but you know as well as I know, your facility, I don't know how it worked in the US, but we were all banded to the same help in terms of money. So we had an accountant's office that might be like 3 meters by 2 meters wide, right? He would be entitled to the same as me, who's got a 10,000 square foot unit and costs. So, we were just banned to them sort of, you know, help, which it just wasn't for us, it wasn't enough, you know? So then the pressure of that just, for my own stresses and stuff, I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't do it anymore. And I just said, look, it would be much better for me to get out now, you know, while I'm, you know, it was no good for me motivation at this current gym I'm in. I was using the energy somewhere else, you know? So now, Brooke, to be honest, you know, now I am, I'm not looking to expand as a gym. I've just opened another business, a bistro, a restaurant, which is totally different to this, you know, but I love food as a trainer. I love food, nice foods. And I like obviously clean foods, but we do both of that. It's literally 20 seconds away from this, my gym now. It's unbelievable. And it's been great the first week, you know, and it's given us that hunger again in business to really excel again, you know, as you know yourself. To really do better in different departments of business, because I'm not just based to be, you know, a gym owner. I want to be, you know, out there doing other things as well.
Mm. Yeah, to be able to focus on more than just the gym. But it sounds like, you know, you still want the gym to thrive, but yes, you just want to be able to spend, you know, more time doing other ventures of business as well. So within the facility itself, you know, what are you guys actively doing to aid that growth process in terms of like, how are you finding new clients?
We use, it'll be the same as US as well, but we have a massive media following. We do, you know, a lot on the media side. We used to do, you know, the leaflet through door thing. It was very taxing for the feedback you got from a leaflet through your door, you know, like a takeaway menu through your door. Unless you open that takeaway menu on a Sunday night when you're ready for a cheat, you're not really interested, you know, you chuck it in the bin. So it didn't work out from the leaflet. The leaflet side wasn't really a thing. So, you know, now we literally rely on the power of social media, which is not ideal again, but it is the way that things have gone in the world now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good that you're on social media. The number one way for businesses in this industry today to grow their business is through social media. It's just a matter of how you do that, right? So on social media, are you guys just posting organically and like reaching your clients? Are you guys running like paid advertisements on Facebook or Instagram?
You know what? That's where I'm very weak as a business. Because, you know, I've tried sponsored ads, I've tried boosting posts. I did have a few conversations with some media experts. And, you know, I looked at the costs of what it was going to be going off the forecast they would receive me, which, you know yourself, it's like someone saying, listen, I can make you double your money per month if you pay me this. And it was like, it's a bit overwhelming to hear that, because you think, hang on, you're going to double me income of people, where me maybe has been a little bit proud. I would be like, look, I know my area. You're from Wales. Like you're 300 miles away. I'm from this area. I know the clients in this area, you know? And I just thought, you know, is it a cost that I don't really need? So I tried it for a few weeks. I got more engagement on posts, but again, Brooke, it wasn't bringing us any more money in the bank. So I'm like, look, it's a cost that I don't need, you know? So maybe I'm missing something, and maybe I'm not, you know, doing something that wouldn't.
Yeah. So ideally, right, if we're running these paid ads, we should be getting a 3-1 return on that investment. Otherwise, it's not worth it. And I think that you would agree there too. But it sounds like you've had that conversation with somebody where it's like the value just like wasn't there. Like for you, you'd be spending more money than you're making, but ideally we get these ads running. And I'll tell you, I'm not an expert in social media marketing either. I'm a gym expert. I can run this business really well, but when it comes to the advertising side, hands off for me. But I do understand the benefit there, and that has been how I grew my business. But yeah. it took me a while and a lot of burnt bridges to figure that out.
Yes.
If you were able to figure that out, get ads running, get a steady flow of new members coming into the gym, how would that change things at Body Blitz?
It would, but the thing is, you know, it's like, as business owners like us,
yeah.
If someone said, right, I'm going to double your membership intake, right? And that sounds great initially, but you got to think, so my maintenance, the maintenance on my bills in terms of machines and carpets, like you know yourself, floors, dumbbells, barbells, plates. I mean, they make them a lot better now, but things break. Okay, things break quite often in gyms. I mean, I had one of my Stairmasters went off today. It's looking like it's going to be like a 300 quid bill just to get it back and running, you know? 300 pounds, okay, is however many memberships a month that just gets blew out the window this month, you know? I had a treadmill deck on a Life Fitness 95T treadmill deck snap in half. It happens. That was like 300 quid plus the belt, you know? So, like, you know, before you know it, if I doubled my membership intake, and this is where a lot of other gym owners, this is a little bit of advice to be fair, a lot of other gym owners, you know, yeah, it's great to have a massive amount of members and have the money coming in, but you have to be aware you're going to put 25% of that extra money away again for renewing your reception carpets, for potential breaks on machines, extra mileage on your treadmills, your bikes. There's a lot more maintenance is involved. Like, you know yourself in the business you've got, things get hammered. People sometimes don't know how to use things correctly. And you can't be always watching, you know. You can't always watch what they're doing. So if they drop a barbell from upper height, you know, that isn't meant to be dropped from upper height, the chances are it's going to break. That's going to cost you 300 quid, you know, through an error of theirs. And it's just like, that's another thing with bringing a lot of people, a lot more members to your gym, is foot flow, is more wear and tear on your equipment, your gym. So I'm pretty happy but with my memberships now and the money that I make. It gives me a nice life for me and my family, my kids. And I'm happy at that level, you know, and it sounds crazy, but I don't tend to chase money anymore because it doesn't really, money doesn't make you happy. It's more than, you know, it takes away the enjoyment of the business when you chase that, you know?
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think, you know, there's kind of two different types of gym owners. There's somebody that is in it for the money. Yeah. And then the second person is in the business because they want to help people. They want to change lives.
Yeah.
And from your history, the fact that this all started with you and your sister, yeah, I think right. that that's what type of gym owner that you are. Yes. You want to help people. So my question to you is, like, why are you limiting the amount of people that you want to help?
Because it's not so much limiting the people I want to help. It's my current members now. Like, just say, for instance, you know, I have had this in the past when the gym has that mad rush, you know, like if 20 extra people turn up to a class, or I don't know, say like 30 people just train on Wednesday night, 30 extra people that are normally in, that aren't normally in, turn up one night. You get that. Your gym ends up looking like it's absolutely crazy busy. And, you know, when I stand back and look, I walk through, you know, and I check around, make sure everyone's, you know, happy and stuff. And I look and I think, people aren't enjoying this training session here because they're waiting for things. It's congested. It's tight. People are probably training other muscle groups. And going back to the commercial gym side of things, Brooke, right? You go into a gym, a pure gym or whatever, right? You go in there at 5 p.m. and it might be the same in the U.S. You turn up to one of those gyms at 5 p.m. and try and do what you want to do in your plan, your current, you know, program that you've got designed for you. You can't get on the machines. You end up training legs instead of back, and then you're doing chest instead of arms because you just got to jump on what you can because it's too congested down to this, you know, cheap fees. You get thousands of people joined and it kills the vibe. You know, it's a wasted payment. And there's so many people that I speak to loads of people in the area, and I believe the rate, our local council gym, right, they had 4,000 members live, right? 4,000 members live on their system. They only had 900 members actively live using the gym and checking in with their gym cards. So they were working on crazy amounts of money, which is great, you know, from the business side of things.
Right.
But, you know, like you see, you're congesting a facility that isn't capable of taking that capacity of people in that space, you know, like you know, going back to your business. If you can comfortably fit 50 people in your big CrossFit gym and 70 people turn up, those 50 that are there aren't going to be too happy because they're going to be like wedged, you know, they're going to have to probably not do certain things that they would normally do because they haven't got the equipment, or the space is going to be tight where they feel a little bit uncomfortable that they're going to hit someone with the blistered exercise that they might be performing, you know. So I prefer to keep it controlled and just nice. And money-wise, like I said, I've done well with business, and to me now it's more about enjoying people enjoy training than it is enjoying the money side of things coming in, you know.
Okay, understandable. Last question that I have for you here before we hop off air is going to be, you know, if you could have a magic wand, all your dreams, all your goals for your business came true, you didn't have to lift a finger, what would that picture look like for you?
I would move to Florida, where you are, and I would live right on a lake or a beach, and that's what I would do. No, I would like to stay in fitness, but as you know, I'm 35 years old now. I wouldn't say I'm like over the hill, but I don't feel like I would ever be out of this industry, but there's more the world offers than just being stuck somewhere, you know, indefinitely.
And yeah. The business, you can get the business, both of them, the bistro and the gym, to a point where you don't have to be there, you know, as often. It's just a matter of getting systems and stuff in place so that you can do that. But I hope you can at least travel to Florida and spend some time over here.
I've never been to America. I've been everywhere in the world apart from America.
Yeah, you have to come. What is the Instagram or the Facebook page for Body Blitz, where can our listeners go to find out more about what you guys have to offer?
Yeah, the Body Blitz link is, it's Body Blitz Gym on the actual link. You know, the logo will be up there, so as you can see, it'll look like this. Okay. So if you do want to check it out, pop over and check it out. You know, you will see loads of content on there. I do try and offer, you know, videos and content on certain tips and stuff. You know, I have done quite well in bodybuilding, getting in shape myself. So there's a lot of stuff of knowledge I've gained from really big professional sort of outfits that I've learned, you know, education, etc. So I've got a lot to offer in terms of educating other people in the fitness industry without being sort of like, you know, full on, you know, about the, you know, 100% or nothing thing isn't my sort of niche, because, you know, you gotta have a life, things happen, you know. So it's all balance, and it's about enjoying training. And some days you might not train, some days you might eat a burger, but you know what it is, it's fine. You get back the next day and it's a fresh new day and you go again. So that's what the page sort of offers.
Awesome. Definitely excited to check it out. And I want to thank you, Paul, for being here today, for sharing your insight on the industry. Listeners, we thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, if you want to stay notified about future episodes, please hit like and subscribe. And if you want to join us for an episode here at the Gym Lords Podcast, fill out the link in the description. We'll be in touch with you soon. As always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. My name is Bree. I'll be your host today, and I'm here with Chad from Gulf Gate Boxing in Sarasota, Florida. What's up, Chad? How are you today?
Good. I'm very good. Thanks for asking.
Good, good. Glad to have you here. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
All right. So let's get right into the details here. What is it that made you want to own your own gym? How did you get started? What's the backstory there?
I moved to Chicago, and my sister was training. Her and I were always gym people, and in and out the gym all the time. I come from a big family of eight, and she was training some people, and I went with her one day, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, man. I wouldn't mind doing that. So she let me have one of her clients, and I trained one of her clients, and her client liked me, you know what I mean, and asked if she could train with me again. And then I just started going from there, and I got into, you know, boxing on the side, and then started teaching people how to box from me learning my skills, and I was teaching them the skills I was learning, and that's how we got into doing that.
There you go. All right. So kind of started organically for you.
Yes, I wasn't planning on opening up a gym. It just happened to be that way. And I was going in-home personal training at first. Mm-hmm. And I got so many clients at the time, I just couldn't go to everybody's house. I got too busy, and I just opened up my gym and let everybody come to my classes and start going from there.
Perfect. That's awesome. All right. So now, what does your business model look like today? Are you only one-on-one sessions? Do you offer semi-private group sessions? Yeah. How does that all work?
Yeah, I do all that, what you asked there. I do classes. I do private training. People can come in the gym and hit their bags and do their own thing on that too as well. So all three things.
Okay. All right. And how many clients or members are you currently serving?
I would say about 60 clients.
Okay. And how do you structure memberships? Are they paying for packages? How do they pay you for the services that you're providing? Are they on monthly memberships? How does that
work? I do monthly memberships now. When I used to be, I had my gym in Chicago before, and I didn't do it that way. I just did every time they came in, they paid a fee. But when I moved up here, I just did a monthly, every month they get billed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's much easier that way, right?
Yeah, for sure it is. I like it. Yes, it is. And then when you have it's really good because I didn't even know, which we'll probably talk about that, you know, when the pandemic hit and all that kind of stuff too, I sort of kept some money flowing in. So I wasn't really upside down too much. So it was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's much easier when it's coming in on a reoccurring basis and makes it a lot easier to track and plan. And it's a lot less work, you know, not having to worry about kind of chasing people down to get their monthly dues. So that's always good.
Yeah, sure.
Now, as far as marketing goes, advertising, getting the word out there about what it is that you do, what is your approach there? What does that look like for you?
You know, I'm a big social media person. So a lot of stuff just comes from Instagram. I get a lot of people just through there. And just marketing myself as far as around my area that I live in, Sarasota and stuff, just from people seeing me outside working, me outside training. I'm sort of a hard guy to miss. You know, I have a lot of tattoos, have a nice, I'd say, muscular build. So people notice what I do. They always say I'm a fighter. I just look like that. So I sort of just have my own billboard there for myself. And it seems to work out good. Everybody knows what I do. So it's just keep selling myself, you know, just selling myself to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely helpful when you're like a walking billboard, you know.
For sure. I didn't mean it that way. It just happened to be that way, man. Then when people see me, they're like, you're either a fighter or a trainer. They it's one or the other. They usually can figure it out.
Right. Absolutely. Now, as far as having a system in place to generate business, to generate leads for the gym, do you have anything consistent and reliable in place aside from, you know, referrals, word of mouth? Those are great, but it's typically they're kind of all over the place.
I would say basically no. I just really do a lot of mouth, you know, people talking about me, and then just the social media has been played. That's just really what keeps selling me, man. And mm-hmm. I'm good at what I do, and I'm just always there, you know what I mean? And I'm never late or not there or not no show, all that kind of stuff. So I'm very mm-hmm. reliable, and I make sure if I have a person that I treat them with respect like they do me, and then give them the red carpet treatment so they stay with me and they know that they're in good hands and I don't lose them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely. The key. And how many new members on a monthly basis are signing up for a membership?
Yeah, that all depends. You know, around here, we do a lot of stuff like, you know, we have, so just like every place, you know, there's sometimes they're busier than others, and sometimes they're a little bit slower off season, on season, whatever word you want to use, you know, or some people just come in for a little bit and then leave 6 months in and out, that kind of stuff. So I just stay on top of them, you know what I mean, and just keep working with them to have them stay here, you know, the best I can. New people, you know, now is a different world. You know, some of the kids that come in now, they really don't want to work hard, and they don't want to push themselves like we did back in the day when I was around. So it's a little bit more, I want to use the word a little bit softer a little bit. And you sort of have to change that way a little bit. I mean, I don't like to. I'm very hardcore and want to, you know, do 50 this and 100 this, and 75 that and that kind of stuff. I'm a very high repetition kind of person. But some of these people just don't want to put that kind of effort into play. And they don't understand that it takes that kind of effort to actually change your body and change yourself. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. So with me helping them see that, I can change their softness and make them mentally strong so they can see what they need to do to get where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that translates into other aspects of your life as well. You know, those are things that can be applied in many different areas, you know, not just within the fitness space, but it's typically a really good foundation, because as you start to push through those things that make you really uncomfortable and then that change your body, you know, there's a lot of confidence that comes from that, just showing yourself what you're actually capable of.
Yes. Yes. And then I would all add to that, you know, like I said, cause you know, I have a boxing gym there. So, and it's not just strictly boxing, but most of it is, you know, and I use that concept. And so some of the kids, you know, everybody wants to learn how to box pretty much, you know, and the kids all like it, you know, all box, you know, they see it, they want to do it, but they just don't realize, like I said, the actual part is actually, you know, maybe getting hit, maybe getting punched, you know, and they don't want to go down that route. You know? I mean, it's like, well, you don't know how to, you can't learn how to box if you don't want to get punched in the face. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, I mean, you can box and hit the bags, which I do that, but then there's some people that want to learn how to box, and when you learn how to box, you have to actually learn how to box. It's actually doing, it's like playing football, not getting tackled. You know, that's how right. I say it. So you got to play the game, you know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah. A lot of times, like I said, they're soft and they don't want to play the game. Right.
Yeah. And when we talk about martial arts, it's like a lot of the time you have to have almost like two sides to the business, right? The side of the business where the people that don't want to get hit can come in and just hit the bag, you know, and get their fitness side of things in. And then the other side of the business where people are a little bit more hardcore and really want the boxing experience, you know? And the thing about that is, the nice thing about that is that the people that don't want to get hit in the face typically provide a good solid foundation for the business and then allow you to have the ability to keep the doors open, keep a good amount of revenue, and then also serve the people that do want a little bit more of a hardcore experience.
No, very true. Very true. Yeah. And I've noticed a lot of times because I ask people a lot of questions, you know, how they hear about me, you know, there's other gyms in here that do what I do, so to speak, you know, and a lot of input that I get from them is that, you know, if you don't want to be the hardcore boxer guy, they don't want anything to do with you, you know what I mean? And I'm not that way. I will do both sides of the story because I know the other side of the story pays the bills just as well as the other side of the story. Really, a lot of the other side of the story, meaning people that really don't want to be hardcore, there's actually more of them people than there is actually the other way. So if you want to more base the gear on that way, that side, you're not going to make the money that you need to make to do what you want to do. So really, right. It's a lot more of the other side, you know?
Exactly. And that's something that people typically figure out a little bit further down the road, right? It's like, you want to open a gym and you want to do what you want to do, right? But a lot of the time that doesn't apply to the masses, you know? So getting a situation in place where you've got more of a general fitness side of things to flow everything, and then you can also offer the things that you want to offer on top of that. But I mean, just general fitness side of things, boxing is 100% one of the best workouts that you can do. You know, even if you're just looking to get in shape, you know, the results that you can get from it as far as, you know, weight loss and toning up and endurance and cardio. And there's just so many great things involved when, you know, you get into boxing for your workout, even if it is general fitness. So it definitely works both ways for sure.
For sure. And it's so nice to see the people. Like I said, the biggest thing that I really work on is the mindset and just seeing the people, mostly just, you know, I have a lot of women that take my classes as well. There's a lot of women that, there's more women than there is men actually. And you know, it's nice to see them learn some skills and be confident in themselves. And sometimes they just, you know, wear something that they normally wouldn't wear. They get more confident in themselves. You know, it's nice to see the changes in that, just their normal appearance, their normal way, how they carry themselves. They're not putting their head down and looking down or looking up. You know, they're positive people and they're looking that way now. You know, before they were a little bit on the visual side, looking down, not confident in themselves. And it helps them out in their jobs and in their relationships and everything in life. So it's nice to help people. That's the only reason why I'm here. It's just is just to help the people, you know, get to be a little better with themselves, you know what I mean? Just get a little bit more confident and stuff. So that always tears me up a little bit. Sorry about that. But, that's, you know, okay. It's just really, really helping the people out. That's the big change right there. You know?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it can completely change somebody's life. You know, it's like, I used to have a kickboxing facility. So along the same lines, more so geared toward general population, you know, I had mostly women, and the experiences that people would have in the facility, you know, is there's nothing better than that. You know, there's nothing better than somebody coming to you and crying because they've gotten to a place that they never thought they would get to. You know, they lost 40 pounds. They feel better than ever. They can do things now that they were never able to do before. You know, it's completely changed their confidence level, their relationships, their work life. You know, it translates into every other aspect of your life. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. And that's what's so rewarding about this industry overall. For sure. Is, you know, you have the ability to really affect somebody's life on such a positive level. You know, there's nothing like it. So sure. I agree. I completely understand that. Now, as far as other services within the gym, any other levels of service that you provide, as far as nutrition, sure. accountability, supplementation, retail, anything of that nature?
Yeah, we do some nutritional stuff. I work with Isogenics a little bit. They come in and I have someone that works me with that, helps them with that. Some food plans, you know, get really mostly people just, you know, really about people just eating too much. You know, they just eat way too much and what they don't really understand the calories burning and the calories taken in. You know what I mean? They just don't really understand how much calories that they're eating enough. And they don't need to finish the plate just because someone gave you a plate of food at the restaurant doesn't mean you need to finish that. You know what I mean? Just sometimes it's way too much food, or if you're not moving that way, you didn't burn that many calories. So it's really just understanding the calorie intake and calorie outtake as far as that's concerned.
Right.
And then just, I help everybody with anything they need. You know, if they just want to work on their arms or their legs or, you know, or more specific body type and plus lose weight and do whatever. It's always something. It's usually not just one thing. You know, I tailor my workouts to help them achieve whatever goal or goals that is, and I make sure that we do that, because I'll take pictures of the people before and after and during 90 days and whatever. I'll make them accountable for it. I'll tell them, I'm going to put my arm around you and talk to you. And these people, we're helping other people out as we do this. So you need to be on track with me, because I'm not putting my arm around you and telling you, you know, we're doing this, doing that. We're not doing it. I mean, because I'm not like that. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it. If not, go somewhere else and bother someone else, because I don't got time to play no games like that. I want to do it. I mean,
right.
So, and they just need someone there, a friend, I guess. But you have to understand, too, like a lot of times I see that with people in relationships, not relationships, but in training, you know, I'm really not here to be your friend. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm a friend, but I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to talk about my grocery list or my girlfriend or this or that. You know, I'm not here for that shit. I'm here to push you and to get you better at what you're trying to do. I'm not here for anything else. You know what I mean? I'll talk about a couple of things here and there, but for the most part, we're working. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times the trainers just get off track of there and they're trying to become a friend and they're getting paid to be a friend. And I'm not that guy. And I wish a lot of trainers did not do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always something that I talk about. You know, there's a fine line there. And, you know, you can be friendly with people and show them that you care, but at the end of the day, you're not there to make friends, you know? And especially when we talk about the business side of things, you know, when you start to cross that line, it's like people expect things from you, like discounts and special treatment and, you know, whatever it might be.
Yes.
And a lot of times that doesn't end well. So yeah. I always say, you know, be very careful about that line and not crossing that line. You know, everybody, you got to keep that same level with everybody in the facility and make sure that line doesn't get crossed, because it can put you in a bad spot, you know, if things go bad. So
no, for sure. I think a lot of, it's funny you say that, but you're so true with what you say there. A lot of times with me, because, you know, I really don't get a lot of that stuff, because they're a little bit more scared or timid of me and stuff. So they don't really try to like push and say stuff like that to me. You know what I mean? So it's pretty nice. I get like No, I'm, you know, what you see is what you get. Like, I'm so, you know, I'm more like, a, if you see me, I'm like a hardcore, maybe tough dude, all this kind of stuff, you know what I mean? But then when they deep down know who I am, what kind of person I am, you know, I'm just a good softy at heart, you know what I mean? And I really want the best for everybody. So they don't really, I don't get that many games played with me, so to speak. And I try to keep it that way. You know, it's nice. Yeah. Some people do though, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to set your expectations from the start, especially if you don't come across that way at it's the start. It's called so soft, you know? Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. So and definitely.
You almost have to play a little bit hardcore, so to speak. I mean, my demeanor and what just works well for me. I mean, like I said, I didn't plan looking this way or acting this way. It's just who I am, man. Mm-hmm. It's just who I am. And it just works well for me because it works in every way that I do. I mean, I actually was just talking to my girlfriend the other day about, you know, because I was taking how I train people, so to speak. And I was ruining our relationship a little bit because I was being, I guess you could use the word aggressive or controlling, word you want to use, you know what I mean? Because I'm like that at work and I didn't know I wasn't separating myself from business to my personal life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was just more taking my business because I think a lot about my business, working my business a lot. It was my whole time structure. You know what I mean? And I really didn't realize some harm that I was doing with her by not, you know, by being that way. You know what I mean? So there's a time to be that way and there's a time not to be that way. And I'm just finally learning that after a lot of years in the gym.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's hard to separate the two, right? Especially when you spend all day
doing it.
Yeah. It's hard to turn that off sometimes. Yes. So yes. I definitely, definitely understand that. That's for
and,
sure.
And I think that's good too, because we're talking about change. You know what I mean? We all have to change. And I have to change myself too. I mean, for me to be a better trainer, I need to learn them kind of things too, and to be just a better person in general. So if I don't see them things and learn them kind of things, I'm not going anywhere and I'm not going to get better at what I do. So by me realizing that, I can change what I need to do. It might not be a fitness goal of mine, but hey, it got my mind strong, got me clear, and got me, I noticed it that way through. That's what I'm saying. When people I train, they help me see things that I need to help with myself.
Right.
So they're helping me, I'm helping them, you know, so it's two and two. I love it.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, as long as you're open to it and willing to adapt, right, then
correct,
that's the perfect situation, really. And I mean, you know, along some of those lines, especially if you're working with mostly women, you know, it can be challenging at times, you know, to be empathetic to some of the things that they may be experiencing or things going on in their lives, and navigating that sometimes can be challenging, you know, even not just with women, in business in general, you know, just remaining empathetic in some ways, but then also, you know, staying true to who you are and the structure within the business. You know, it's a balance. It can be hard at times.
Yes, so. Yes.
Now, where are you directing most of your time, attention, energy into the business right now? What's the main focus for you within the business currently?
I guess it's always, you know, looking for new customers, finding out who you can help, you know, if it's kid related or if it's adult related or families or this or that. So right now I'm really just working on trying to get some more kids involved in the stuff, because I hear a lot of stories with kids being bullied at school, and it starts at such a young age and stuff like that, and they're just, you know, a lot of that bullying, it's really nothing to do with if they need to learn how to box. I mean, boxing does help them, you know, it will help anybody learn how to defend yourself, but I mean, for the most part, it's just they just have no confidence level in themselves, and they just need self-esteem was zero, you know. And if they just would, you know, look up or speak up, or you know, so a lot of that just be just, I would just say the kids, just really right now is just trying to help the kids more and having patience, because that takes a lot of patience too as well for it me does. to learn of kids. Yeah, I just did it last weekend, you know, and had, you know, if you have 10 or 12 little 13-year-olds or under in there, 6 to 13-year-olds, it could be a little frustrating, but they do listen fairly decent to me, and they do try to, you know, better themselves. So I'm happy about that. So that would be my answer there, the kids. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It takes a lot of energy too. You know, if you've got an hour block with them and you've got, like you said, 10 or 12, 6 to 13-year-olds, like it's a lot. I remember doing that when I was a personal trainer back when I first started in the fitness industry, you know, I had a kid's class and it was usually in the afternoon, you know, after school, they got out of school, they came to the class and it was like, that took a lot out of me, especially at the end of the day when you've been training since 5 a.m. You know, it's okay, a lot of patience there for sure. So, all right. So now what is the big picture for the gym itself? What are you working toward? Where would you like to take this thing?
As far as that's concerned, just me be able to help as many people as I possibly can and change people's life direction. I mean, that's always nice, man. And, you know, I've had a lot of people, well, you know, I had 100 pounds to weight loss off, 80 pounds off. So I'm good at having the heavier people, if you want to say that, that looking to change, because if they want to change, if they come to me and they tell me they want to do it, you know what I mean? Then it's mostly, you know, a lot easier if they want to do it. You know what I mean? Same with the kids, you know, the people, parents want their kids to come in. It's like, well, if the kids don't want to be there, there's no sense of training because they don't want to be there unless their parents want them to do it. You know what I mean? They think it's good for them, you know, or the parents heard the kid saying that, you know, he's a, you know, whatever, the kids yell, called him something across the schoolyard, you know, but it really doesn't matter if the kid doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to be there. So I would just say, just, you know, I'm good at just, if you want to be there and you want to change yourself, whatever direction that is, I'm open for it. And we can do that together, you know, right, holding hands and, you know, pushing each other through that.
Yeah. There definitely has to be a motivation.
I would like to have a couple other trainers in there doing things. I mean, the sky's always a limit for me, but like, again, I was saying, it's such a different world nowadays. It's really hard to find someone that wants to work, you know what I mean, wants to get up early. You know, I get up 4 a.m, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't want to do that, you know. So, you know, it's sort of difficult. So I sort of like just being me because I know I can rely on myself and I don't have to worry about canceling people because someone doesn't show up, you know what I mean? So I don't really know if I want to. Sometimes bigger isn't always better, you know what I'm saying? Just sometimes it's not, you know. It's just, I'm just trying to keep tabs on everything and don't get too big for myself. And also, and be humble with myself as well too, and just work on them structure there.
Yeah, absolutely. It is challenging to find the right people, get the right people in the right places, you know, to grow if that is what you want to do, you know, because when you're in a situation when you are running everything, you know, you're teaching all the classes, you're relying on yourself for everything. It's very hard to focus on the growth of the business if you're always in the business on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, I understand wanting to just do everything yourself because you can rely on yourself. And I was very much so like that. It was very hard for me to delegate tasks and let go of certain things because I was like, you know, I know if I do it, I'm going to do it at the highest level. It's going to be done with the best level of service. You know, I'm going to make sure that everything is done in the best way, you know, for the client. And it's hard. It's hard to let go of some of that control, really, and let other people step in and take over some of those things.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'm just laughing because I used to be really bad back in the day because, you know, I come a long way. And when I first started, I used to remember hiring some people. And I remember just even trying to tell how to vacuum the way I wanted to vacuum. You know what I mean? I mean, it was pretty, you know, if you don't do it the way that I wanted to do it, you know what I mean? You can't have this job. You know what I mean? So it was very, I was very bad.
No, I get it. I get it. And no, I remember having experiences like that with mopping. You know, it's like, people mopping like front to back rather than side to side, you know, it's like, oh man, but it's like, you don't want to critique every little aspect of everything they do. But at the same time, you're like, man, this would go a lot faster if you just did it my way, you know?
Yes.
It's definitely challenging. All right. So one more thing before we start to wrap up, one thing I always love to ask about is what is one of the most important things that you've learned throughout your time in ownership of a gym? I'm sure there are many, but what's one of the main things that really has stuck out to you?
I would say, I would just really just fixing myself because I get to see so many people's problems, and a lot of people all have the same problems, you know, in a different kind of way, you know what I'm saying? So when I can see their problem, it's in my problem. So a lot of times it's like me looking in the mirror, man. I just need to, and a lot of people can't see their problems. And when I look at them, I see their problems, and a lot of their problems are my problems, because I think we all pretty much have the same kind of problems, you know, it just in a different way, you know, and there's only so many of them that we have, you know. There might be, you know, 7-8 problems, I don't know, probably less than 10 that we have, and we need to change them things to move forward and evolve and get better. So I would just say, just probably just basically just myself, just seeing the changes I need to make in myself to make my business better and to change along with that, man. Cause there's a lot of changes that has to go along with what we're doing to make a business work and thrive and continue to thrive, you know, and stay with the times, you know. It's it's difficult. And I might make it look easy, and a lot of people tell me that, but you know, when you try to put yourself in my shoes, it's not easy. It's really not, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So. It's definitely challenging, and it does constantly require you to level up, you know, whether that be personally or in the business. Just continue to stay open-minded, continue to grow, get better every single day.
For sure. You know? Yep, yep.
Otherwise you fall behind.
Doesn't take long to get in the back. Nope.
Doesn't. Not at all. Nope. A lot of times, nope. You know, it takes a long time to build it up, but it doesn't take a long time for it to go the other way.
We can say the same with the fitness thing there. You know, same thing when you're getting all weight, you know, you start putting 2 pounds on and all of a sudden you got 4 pounds, and you got, then all of a sudden you got 8 pounds, and you're like, uh-oh, you know what I mean? I got to start doing that, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times people wait too long to, you know, they a lot of time they put the weight on and they just think it's so easy to get off because it's so easy to put on.
Nope. You know what I mean? Unfortunately.
Right.
You know. All right. So now, where can the listeners find you on social media?
Social media would be Golf Gate Boxing. That's spelled at GULFGATE boxing at gmail.com. And I'm on Facebook like that too, but a big Instagrammer for sure.
Perfect. Alrighty, so Chad from Golf Gate Boxing in Sarasota, Florida, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you, Bree. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. To all the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, keep killing it out there, and we will catch you on the flip side. Jim Lords, out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Jim Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more, or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Jim Lords podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Brooke. Joining me on the show is Sam from Rise Fitness out of Baker, Montana. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be doing this. I've never done a podcast. Listen to them sometimes. I'm a busy mom.
Hey, well, I'm excited.
When you have a moment by myself. When I have a moment by myself, I can listen to a podcast. Otherwise, it's like Coco Melon in the background.
I definitely understand that. I have a 4-year-old. And so I've tried listening to podcasts in the car, like even when I think he's a little bit sleepy. And then he's asking for like Encanto or like some Disney music. Yeah. So I understand that. Yeah. Okay, so excited to have you here. And thanks for joining us for your first podcast ever. That's a big deal. It means a lot.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Before we really dive into the nitty gritty here, just give us a really brief background. What was it that made you become a fitness business owner?
Okay. So I got a degree in health and PE. So I planned on teaching fitness and health to our youth. When I moved with my husband to where we're located in Baker, there weren't a teaching position. There wasn't any teaching positions open in health and PE. So I helped with the school. I ended up having a baby and I kind of stepped away from that. There was a woman who needed a little bit of help or wanted a little bit of help with a kind of gym she was already running. So I started doing that and it kind of organically happened where I stepped in and helped her. She kind of eventually wanted to be out. I bought a building because we ended up getting kind of building a clientele base, bought a building, moved the gym. Yeah. And now I'm running small group personal training is what I kind of like to call it. We're a town of 2000 people. So very small community, but, yeah, it's been really good. Like it happened kind of organically and now I kind of just ran with it and I love it because it's so similar to what I already enjoyed, which was health and fitness and teaching. The teaching and coaching aspect are so intertwined that I'm getting that by not being an actual teacher at a school and doing it in a gym instead. So.
Yeah. And this is like kind of nice too, because there's a little bit more flexibility with the schedule there. It's not like Monday. I mean, it still is Monday through Friday, but it's not like 9 to 5. You have.
Yes. No, girl, I have like, so now I had two more kids. I'm very busy. I'm on the school board. So this year I joined the school board and that's a lot of extra work. Yeah, my kids keep me busy and I watch my niece. So my sister-in-law is a teacher at the school here. So I watch my niece during the day too. So it is, it's perfect because I have childcare at the gym for my kids because I personally need that, but I have a lot of other moms. So the childcare portion has been awesome.
With the child care, is there somebody there that actually like watches them or do you just have like an area?
Yes. We kind of started that when I first got the building because our one of my early morning classes, my 8:30 class, is basically made up of moms. They take their kids to school and that's why the class is at 8:30. They drop their kids off at other kids off at school and they come to the gym. And it's been really good. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't probably have that same clientele base. And I know a lot of, I'm not a CrossFit affiliated gym. Do we do a lot of CrossFit style movements, but I'd say more strength training and conditioning based, similar to CrossFit, but not affiliated. So, I wouldn't get the same people if I didn't have the childcare because don't get me wrong. I'm all for kids enjoying fitness, but sometimes as a mom, you need a break.
Of course. And it's
hard just having your kid there and having to go back and forth and back and forth. And let me tell you, that's real life. And sometimes that's the only way you get your workouts in.
Yep.
And that's better than not doing them at all. But it's a good option for us just because then you can really go in and focus on doing your thing.
Like set hours that you have the childcare available?
Oh yes. I just do them during my class times. So I only have three classes during the week, during the day, a 5:30 AM and 8:30 AM. And then I have an afternoon class, a 4:30 PM class. I used to run a 5:30 PM class and it was just kind of hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually dropped a class and had my other class kind of fill up better and just the energy in the room was better. So I just kind of kept with one class in the afternoon and it's worked out a little bit better for us. So yeah, I only offer childcare during our class times.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, so I think that's great that you offer that because that is like a big thing for a lot of people. Like they can't join a gym because they can't bring their kids and it doesn't make sense for a lot of people to pay for daycare just so they can go to a gym and work out. And so if you have it all under one roof, perfect to kind of cater toward those parent types.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So you offer the group training, small group training. Do you do one-on-ones at all? Or like what other services in addition to that do you have to offer at the facility?
Yeah, so we do offer personal training. I actually have a personal trainer, a friend, a good friend now, that helps me with classes, and then she does offer personal training too. So she kind of sets her own hours that she wants to PT people, and then whatever her, so like I said, we're a very small town, and I basically charge her 20% of what she makes overall, and I let her kind of handle all of her scheduling. Okay. And that works out well for us. It's nice for me too, because I make our schedule. If I can't, you know, have to be at a school event or I have something going on, she steps in and takes a class for me, and we just kind of, that's how we schedule our whole month out. Yes. Like, can you work this class this day? I'm doing this class this day. And I pay her per class. So.
Okay. Nice. So you do have that. You're not a complete one woman show. That's important.
No, no. That's important.
Yes. Okay, great. So currently, like as things stand within the business, how many clients would you say that you guys are servicing?
I would say probably on average close to 50. The summertime is usually a little bit slower for us, so we just have less overall people in the gym. I always think like, oh, we have summer and now it's like, it's going to slow or get like going to slow down. We'll have, but it's always busier. It's like people are going with their kids. Kids are in sports and doing things. And once school starts is when our kind of business tends to pick up, because people are back to a regular routine and not running through the summertime. So I'd say maybe 20 people less on average in the summer. Consistently.
Yeah, I mean,
classes will be full and have, you know, 15 people, and other times I'll have like five, you know, so it kind of just depends.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of seasonality in this business.
Yes. Yeah.
And so there's always going to be kind of ebbs and flows there. With, you know, 50, 60 clients, somewhere in that range kind of sounds about average, maybe yeah. 65. Is that a place, Sam, where you guys feel good and comfortable, or are you in a position where you would like to take on, you know, more members?
Yes, I would like to take on more. Right now, I would say like our median age is probably like, I have some very like a lot older 70s that come in, and I mean, are, you know, like, because we're so small, we have 70-year-olds to I would say like 30, and our median age being like somewhere around 45 to 50-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I'd like to start trying to get younger kids in. So I did, you know, this summer did sports specific training and did some strength training with some athletes. I'd like to try to retain those kids more long-term, you know, and a lot of our kids will, you know, they'll go through high school, graduate, but a lot of them end up coming back here. So even if I could find them in high school, kind of get them in and interested in fitness, even if they leave and go to college and do whatever they want to do, and then end up coming back here, I'd like to bring them back. You know, even if I lose them for a few years. But I think like right now our town, and when I first moved here, our town is not like big on health and fitness. So that was my biggest struggle, you know, like how can I get people interested in this and show the importance of taking care of yourself and your health? If I can start that younger, you know, even if, like I said, even if I start that younger and I lose them for a while, they leave and come and eventually come back. You know, just changing one dynamic, meaning then, you know, they have that goal in the rest of their life. Like, so then they have a family, they find their family, and that's instilled in their family. Like, just trying to change the entire kind of cycle of how our community is in general. So, I mean, yeah, I always want more. I always want to reach out to more. That's kind of the bummer of not being in the school itself, because I feel like I could do a better job actually being in the school as a teacher than being at the gym, just because you're separated. But
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. And it sounds like you are like really, you know, you're because you're in a small town. Like, I feel like I grew up in small town Maine. Like when I grew up there, like everybody seemed to be so stuck in the way that they had been living for the past 30, 40 years. And it's just like, it's hard to get those people to kind of change their mind. And so I understand like why you're looking at, you know, kind of getting kids involved. When it comes to getting the general population, adults involved, what have been some of the things that you've done to kind of aid that growth process and get new everyday people in through the door?
So I would say like the last few years, social media, you know, just because social media has gotten so big. Now you have Reels and, you know, Instagram and TikTok, and I'm not like a big TikToker, but people see stuff. And even if it's for a slight motivation, you know, like, okay, I saw this, I'm interested in the gym, just come and try it. Like come and try it, step foot in the door. Sometimes that's just the hardest part, is actually getting yourself there. And then just trying to build people up. Like, you don't have to be good at this, just come, it'll make you feel better. But every small step matters. And so I don't know. I think social media has helped us quite a bit. Being on Facebook and Instagram and people seeing it and being interested in it. And oh, wow. Like, am I marketing to a certain crowd, you know? So I don't want to just be showing me in, you know, like how my body looks and how, you know, my frame versus somebody else. So I try to like, okay, I can do this, but this person who doesn't look like me, who's just starting, can also do this. Like, you can do that too, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And I think like for most people, the biggest, and it props to you, first of all, for being on social media, because that's an important like feature that a lot of gym owners are not utilizing. Yes. And in today's day and age, we're living in such a digital world that if you're not having a presence on social media, you're kind of doing something wrong. So good that you have that presence there. And I think for many people like who maybe haven't had health and fitness as a part of life, they just think of the gym as like this really boring or intimidating place. They don't know how to get there, but most people are sitting at home unhappy with the way that they look or with the way that they feel, and they want a change. And so we can kind of sell them on, hey, like you're going to come to us and we're going to help you feel better. We're going to help you have that mental clarity that you've been desiring. We're going to be able to help you lose that pesky 5 pounds that, you know, you've been trying to lose, but just can't through regular dieting. We sell them to that result. Typically they're more apt to make a change. Yes. A lot of gyms miss the mark by saying like, hey, this is our gym. Check out all of our cool equipment. We offer all these great classes. That's not enough to motivate people.
No. Yes.
Like people want to see results, right?
Right. Yes. So I think one of the biggest things too, that I really try to focus on is, and same, it goes back. I mean, even in a big town, you can have this too, but just being such a small town, like, is community. And I really never was, I mean, I guess so I grew up an athlete, so I get like the team side of stuff. So I was around a team, but as far as working out and fitness, I never really trained with anybody. I was never involved in community in that aspect, but like, I'll never go back. I mean, I'll work out by myself and train if I have to, but people don't understand that what you get from group training is community and people, like, you're going to feel motivated because you have someone behind you telling you, you can do it. Like, you can do this. Like, you're almost there. You got this. And right. That's why people love CrossFit so much, is the sense of community you get, because everybody is so encouraging. And I've heard that from, you know, people that come into the gym. So a lot of I think that's one of the biggest retainers, is how you feel being surrounded by all those other people.
Yep. Yeah, that's a big part of it. And I think like that helps keep people around, helps motivate them if they have that community. Because for a lot of people, like, they're not successful going to the gym on their own. I know for me, I would never be successful walking into a, you know, big box gym and doing my own thing. For me, what pushes me is that, like, tonight when I show up at the gym at 5 o'clock, like, my buddies are going to be there and we're all going to work together. Like, that's what motivates me.
And it's fun. I mean, it's fun. It's fun. You get used to seeing the familiar faces. I mean, and you know, everybody knows everybody now. It's fun to be around that group of people. It's just, it ends up being really fun.
Yep. Yeah. No, I would definitely agree with you there. Before we kind of run out of time, like, on the show, I want to be able to ask a couple more questions, Sam. The next one that I have for you is, like, you know, in this business, we're all, especially the past few years, are facing our own challenges. And I think there's just as much value talking about the really great things that we've done as there is talking about the challenges. Because when we talk about the challenges, guaranteed, somebody listening to this show out of the 20,000 people tuning in, one of them is probably dealing with the same thing that you are. So what would you consider to be your biggest business-related challenge right now? And what are you kind of working on to overcome that?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I would probably say time for me. I feel like I could probably do more, but I struggle with being a mom. Like, I am managing my kids and my business, and that's hard. And like, it sounds easy, but until you're a mom and you've done it and you have to manage both a business, a career, trying to manage your career and what you enjoy, and being a mom and not feeling guilty about the time in between, I think that's my biggest challenge. that's, you know, a lot of that is why I have the childcare at the gym, because I haul my kids back and forth. My kids are at the gym a couple times a day. Like, they're going to grow up in that world. But I would say that's probably my biggest challenge, is just the time. I feel like I could do more and maybe give more to my business. But right now my kids are very young. So, like I said, it's nice to have the help of my other trainer. You know, you don't want to wish time away. I'm looking forward to when my kids are older, just being able to put more time into my business. But right now I'm trying to manage both. So I think that's probably my biggest struggle. I'd like to PT more. I'd like to personal train more. Eventually maybe add another class during the day. I do plan to add this next school year, a kind of wellness class during the week, which is going to be mostly mobility and stretching and yoga type stuff. But yeah, I'd like to do more. You know, a few of the athletes that I've had this school year or this summer have asked me to do, like, can we meet at so instead of a 0 hour at the high school, can we meet at 7 a.m. and train till 8 and then go to school? I'm like, no, I can't do that because my husband goes to work at 7. I have my kids. Like, I can't wake my kids up, then my kids have to be at school. So just the time, like,
yeah, I mean, time is like the one resource that you can never buy back.
Yes, no matter exactly.
How much you want to, you just can't. And there's only so many hours in a day, and you're a mom. That's like the most important thing. That's going to take up most of your time. And so it's just a matter of, like, how can the business still operate and still have that going, but you still get to spend time with your family and doing, that's obviously very, very important. Have you, like, is there anything that you feel like you could do to kind of optimize your time a little bit better so that you could spend less time in the day to day and more time, like, with your family and, like, kind of working on the behind the scenes of the business?
No, I don't think so. I've tried to think, like, what else, and I just don't. Like, I just think that it's just the timing of my life right now, you know. Like, I'm just, it's how old my kids are. It's my kids' age. Once my kids get a little bit older, maybe, you know, but, like, for me to leave, to get a babysitter, to go to the gym, I mean, then I'm kind of just evening out my pay scale. So I don't know. No, I just think it's just the timing of my life right now. So my gym is a lot of my business transcends, like, how my life is in its season right now, you know, so it's going to be probably different 10 years from now when my kids are older and they can handle themselves more and I can commit, give more of a commitment, you know, make change things up, do things a little differently. And just, yeah, be more involved. But right now this is as much as I can give. And I, like I said, I have another trainer and I'm so grateful for that because I don't feel like I am giving too much right now when my kids need me at home too. So
have you ever considered like getting another trainer so that you can spend more time at home?
So yes. And it's just hard to find here. Just the market's very small. So I even struggle. So my struggle too is like with the childcare, basically all our high school kids, our kids, even our middle school, the high school kids who I'd have helping me are involved in athletics and they basically play every sport. So, I mean, I have a hard time finding somebody to help me as it is. Everybody's just super busy because we're so small. I mean, which is great because they're involved in a lot of stuff and that's super, but I kind of struggle to get the help. I would not be opposed to having somebody else either. You know, that would be great too. Maybe we could do some extra things, but
it's hard.
Yeah.
How far away from, like you said, obviously the town you're in is really small, like 2000
yes.
people. Are there like towns nearby or like, I'm not super familiar with Montana, so I don't
know. Yeah, that's okay. So so Baker sits kind of on the border of North and South Dakota. So we're like right in the middle. So we can go North Dakota, South Dakota. We're very Eastern Montana. So North Dakota is actually like 18 miles is all from us, the border. Billings, Montana, which would be bigger, like, I don't even know. 80,000 people maybe plus. I don't know. I have to double check my facts here.
It's okay.
Much bigger than us is like 3 hours away.
Oh, wow.
Same North Dakota, South Dakota. Most of the bigger towns are 3 hours away. So we have like, we're a class B community. So we have some C schools around us that are, you know, 40 miles, Ekalaka, Montana is 30 miles. So we have some smaller schools around us, but yeah, anywhere that is kind of worth like doing some shopping and like, mm-hmm. you know, hitting up a Costco or something is a good 3 hours away.
Yeah. So you're in a really, really remote.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it sounds like for you right now, you're just kind of like waiting for your next season of life for the business yes. kind of evolves yes. like whatever comes next.
Yeah.
If you could have a, you know, fancy magic wand here, all your dreams and goals for your business have come true. What would that picture look like for you? Kind of no limitations type situation.
Yeah. I would love a bigger space. So my gym right now it's cool. It looks like an old church. So a brick building, it was built by the Masonries and they had their club and it came up for auction, but I have a basement that I gear more towards the people that are coming in on their own and working out. And then the upstairs is more open. But a bigger space would be cool. I'd like more equipment always. Like if there's something to be purchased, let's do it. But yeah, I don't know, probably just a bigger space would be my main thing.
Yeah.
Just to be a little bit more spread out, but bigger space, more people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with the bigger space, like that gives you the opportunity to have more services available.
Yes.
And seeing that you are in a pretty small town, like you have the market pretty tied down. Like people
yes.
can
yeah.
you or they can choose you. So
yeah.
if you can really like the more you can offer, the more people we can really target to pull into the business. And
yeah.
that always feels pretty good. But I thank you for sharing kind of that vision with us and for talking to us about your business, sharing your insight. Do you have like a Facebook or Instagram that our listeners can go to follow along your journey?
Yes. So we are on Facebook. So it's just Rise Fitness. So that's in Baker, Montana. And then our Instagram is risefitness_406. Yep. And we're, like I said, we're located in Baker, Montana. And yes, this has been awesome. A great first podcast for me. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for, like I said earlier, coming on for your first podcast and talking about your big deal. We appreciate it. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, if you want to stay notified about future episodes, please hit like and subscribe. And if you want to join us for an episode here at the Gym Lords podcast, fill out the link in the description. We'll be in touch with you soon. As always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.